an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, John, and ciao, everybody. Here we are for the first time at our prime time, 7 o'clock time slot. It's very exciting for us, and we're grateful to the management for letting us know that our show is at the top 15% of all the shows on BBS Radio. And that's exciting for us, since just 2 short months ago, we started as the new kids on the block. And here we are getting bumped up from 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and we are very excited about that. We're moving up in the world. Our show is moving on up, and this shows it. The numbers show it. People are showing it by emailing us, and I sent out emails to my friends and family, letting them know that we were moving to 7 o'clock because I wanted to make sure that they could listen in, especially on our first show on this time slot, and got so many responses back from people just praise and gratitude even for doing the show, and that blew me away, actually. Thank you for doing this show. And let me tell you, that makes me feel like we're on a mission, and we've got some important things here that we're presenting, and people are really taking it in and using it, and their life is changing. And it's interesting because I got asked to speak at an event this weekend at a conference that was being held in Orange County, and so I went and spoke on Life Changes and with Filippo and what it's about and what we're doing here. And there again, the response was incredible. And then it was interesting because I shared some of my personal growths that have been happening just because of the show. And people really resonated with that. A couple of the stories that I shared, they really took that in and said, yeah, that's happened to me, or I think that's going to happen to me, or I hope that's going to happen to me. And we're all at different levels, but we're all going through some similarities. It's like when I was singing and doing the Italian shows all over the country, and I'd have people come up to me initially and say, oh, I just loved the stories you told about growing up Italian-American and not being able to speak the language, English language, and learning it and making mistakes. And I really connected with that, or it really brought me back. And I'd say, oh, you're Italian. And some people would say, no, I'm from Argentina, or I'm from Mexico, or I'm from the Soviet Union. And at first I'd think, well, then why did you relate to that? But there are some experiences that are universal. And so I'd start seeing these Asian Americans come up and say, thank you so much, I related to your stories. And I thought, wow, you know, this is great because it's crossing so many borders. And now Life Changes with Filippo, it crosses borders indeed all over the place, because especially the changes that are going on in the world are definitely things that people can relate to. And so, encouraged by the numbers that keep going up of our listeners, encouraged by the fact that we're now on prime time, and encouraged by all the emails we're getting about saying we'd love to meet you, or people on Facebook saying things by sending us messages saying it'd be great if we could to meet your whole team. Because of all of that, we are doing our very first, a lot sooner than we thought we would, Life Changes with Filippo live event presented by Off Hollywood Media. And our very first one is going to be in Orange County. And as I wrote to everybody on my mailing list, I said, of course, not everybody that I know lives in Orange County. But we're hoping that we could do these all over the world, Because there again, the message really transcends culture and race and religion. We're not about religion. We're not about, we're about definitely culture. As a matter of fact, our very first show will feature a singer, a Tibetan cultural ambassador. And she's a recording artist in Tibet and big out there. And she's coming out to do our show. Her name is Yangjin Lamu. She is a delightful person, a beautiful, sweet voice, and she's flying out a guitarist from Taipei, Taiwan, and he's going to be accompanying her, and if the moon aligns correctly, I'll get to sing a song with her as well. And we've got a world-renowned numerologist who's no stranger to you all because we've had him on the show, and I know he's been on BBS before, and that's Julian Michael. And he's going to do, we're going to do the interview live, just like we do on the show, and then he's going to give out a numerology life coaching session right there, and someone's going to actually win the coaching session and stand on stage with us and get their numbers read and their life told. And I said to him, what if something bad comes up? And he says, nothing bad comes up. It's all how you look at it. And he says that we can work with any number. And I thought that was really great. We're going to have Dorothy Lee, who's going to be doing a moon ceremony, and she's going to be doing energetic alchemy and some of what you hear here, the State of the Universe address. And for that matter, Stacey Hess as well, giving her luminary list, but a live version of that. We're not sure what that's going to look like yet. At least I'm not. I think she is, but I can't wait to see what it looks like live. So basically, it's going to be a live event, just like our show, only it's going to be longer, bigger, thicker, wider, taller, and louder, a lot more fun with music. I'm going to sing as well. We have live musician Marco Misinato going to be playing throughout the event. And one of the things that I think is going to be really fun is that we're going to have our producers. Now, some of you might have heard our very, very, very first show where we had three of the producers on and we were chatting and laughing. And so many people wrote about that saying, that's so fun. And that's when they really wanted to meet us. So you're all going to get to meet them, those of you who could come. We're calling it the Musings of Foresight. There are four of us, and we're going to be talking, Mark Skelton, Jon Snow, Mark Leisure, and myself, talking like we do, laughing, joking about things, and presenting the way we look at love and spirituality, relationships, whatever the situation is, and whatever the topic is, we're going to have fun with it. And we're sure everybody can relate with that. So here we have our very first Life Change with Filippo, so live event. So please go to our website and learn more about that. And if you're interested in bringing us to your town, do let us know by email or contact us on Facebook any which way, and we'll be happy to work with you on making that happen. Now, our guest today is Cheryl Canfield. And now she talks about something that everybody can relate to as well, which is really interesting. She talks about peace. And what's interesting to me and why I couldn't wait to have her on the show, and Mark Skelton, one of our producers, brought her to us, and she's been working with Jon Snow to make this all happen. And it's really exciting because she talks about peace in a really interesting way. And you know, everybody, especially around the holidays, say, oh, peace to you and peace to the world and all that. And I've thought to myself often, how can that peace really happen? And what does that really mean? So Cheryl Canfield is with us to talk about peace and help us change the way we look at peace. And she gets a lot of her direction from a lady who came way before us, and that is Peace Pilgrim. So we're going to bring Cheryl Canfield on, and let me tell you a little bit more about her. She's a life and wellness counselor, a teacher of spiritual principles, and a peace proponent, inner as well as outer. So that's what we're really going to focus on today. But before we do that, we're going to talk about her being the current president of Friends of Peace Pilgrim, which is a nonprofit organization that promotes peace by way of Peace Pilgrim's books and her messages and the memory of her. So without further ado, Cheryl, are you with us?
I am. I'm here, Filippo, and all the more honored when I hear you talk about this being the first of your primetime shows. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being our first. As a matter of fact, you're our first in a long time who's not sitting right here with us, and we're happy to have you on the show. I just haven't had the chance to meet you. I know Mark has, and a couple other people, and they all say you're as delightful as I thought you were from the very first time we chatted.
Well, thank you.
So hopefully next time we can have you here live. You know, Cheryl, you do some amazing things around this whole concept of peace. And one thing in particular I can't wait to talk about, and I think you know what that is. But in the meantime, you are the president of Friends of Peace Pilgrim. Now, I did not know Peace Pilgrim until Mark Skelton told me about her. So she's a fascinating lady as well. Please tell us a little bit about her.
I surely will. She was actually, she is an historic figure, an amazing woman who actually stepped out during the McCarthy era. That goes way back to 1956, when it was a time when the war was raging in Korea. Congressional committees considered people guilty until proven innocent. It was a time when there was a great deal of fear among people, and it was safest to be apathetic. And especially at those times, to be a woman and to step out on the road as a pilgrim walking for peace was simply unheard of. But she considered it her calling to go forth in society to wake people up from their apathy and get them thinking. And she was so amazing that she designed this little tunic that she wore to draw attention away from herself and toward her message. And it said Peace Pilgrim in big white letters on the front. And her earlier tunics read Walking Coast to Coast for Disarmament, which later changed to Walking 25,000 Miles on Foot for Peace. Now, wow. You know, I go back to the Vietnam generation. And so in 1976, when peace had been on the road for many long years already, which, by the way, she had made a vow to walk until given shelter, to fast until given food, she never asked. She didn't carry money, and she didn't take it when it was offered. So this was totally a walk on faith. I mean, just amazing.
And when you mean walk, you mean walk. She literally walked on her feet, her shoes, across the country.
She walked on her feet, yes. she walked on her feet, and you know, in the beginning, now she walked for 28 and a half years before her death in 1981.
Wow.
And in the very beginning, she absolutely did not take any rides. Her walk was to help her stay focused on her prayer for peace. And so she never hitchhiked, she never took rides, she did all of her walking on foot. Now, towards the end of her journey, towards the end of her life, which is when I knew her, she had changed her priorities. She had a sense that she needed to start talking to as many people as possible. And so at that time, her priorities changed, and talking became more important than actually walking every step. So at that point, she did start taking rides in between engagements so that she could speak to as many people as possible.
And how old was she at that point?
Well, you know, she didn't give her age, and that was one of the things that was...
of course, what am I asking?
Yeah, it's, you know, she... she didn't give her age, and she said that she remained ageless and in radiant health by putting age out of her mind. And she said she had absolutely put it out of her mind. She didn't even know how old she was anymore, and she didn't want to know.
Well, so. That's great, and we'll honor her with that. And the reason for my question is to let the audience know, who might not know her as well. I've seen pictures, and she had white hair, and she wasn't 13, or I mean, not 13, but she wasn't 20 years old. She was
no. And actually, you know, she made her passing in 1981, and since that time, her life story is coming out. I did happen to find out through a bit of snooping in some old newspapers she was alive. She had a great sense of humor, but she tried to, you know, keep her privacy. I can tell you a funny story about a friend of mine and I who were traveling with her, and as I said, we had done this research and had found some old newspaper articles that gave her age and her name, which she never gave out. She called herself only Peace Pilgrim because she knew that people only remembered a little bit, and she wanted them to remember the important things. So when they recalled her name, she wanted them to remember her message, which was we had discovered this old newspaper, and this friend of mine named Andy sat down next to her, and he whispered into her ear, "Peace, I know who you are." And she looked at him, and she said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Your initials are M.R. And he goes, "Oh, for heaven's sake, where did you hear that?" He said, "Oh, I read it in an old, I found an old newspaper article." And she laughed and goes, "Oh, you know those reporters always get things wrong." So even at that time, she didn't admit to it. She knew we knew.
She sounds delightful.
She was wonderful. She was wonderful. She started out walking. She called it her retirement project, but realistically, she was 43 when she started out, and her hair was turning to silver.
Wow.
And she walked for 28 and a half years without ever having a home, without ever asking for food, without ever asking for shelter. And yet, by the time that I met her, she said to me, laughing, "You know, people think I don't get enough to eat. The truth is, I get too much."
No.
And very often, yes, go ahead.
Well, I was just about to say, what a beautiful mission. And during this time, she wasn't just walking and talking. She was also writing, and people were writing her, right?
Yes. Her tunic had these little pockets sewn in all around the bottom. And she carried, if you can imagine, she carried everything that she owned. What she owned was a toothbrush, a comb, a map, and all of the mail that was sent to her while she was walking. Now, remember, she started out as an unknown. But as the years went by, she had met so many thousands of people, and people wrote her all the time. She would keep her mail in her back pocket. And she said, "You know, when you're walking, every ounce counts. So when I get my mail," she goes, "I answer it as soon as possible."
Oh.
And so, yes, she did. She sat down every evening or whenever she had a moment. And I can tell you she didn't have many, because she was either walking or she was in a town speaking. And when she had speaking engagements, when she walked into a town, if she wasn't booked throughout the whole day, she would get on the phone and start calling the newspapers, the television stations, the radio stations, until she was fully booked.
Wow. So now, getting back to the letters, these letters became a special book.
You're talking about the book Peace Pilgrim, Her Life and Work in Her Own Words.
Right.
Yes. After Peace died, many of us, she had always said that she had written enough, she had written enough to make a book. It just wasn't in book form. And so when she died, a friend, Richard Palasi, put together a memorial service, and people came from all over the country for a period of 10 days, just coming and going, sharing memories, having this beautiful memorial service for Peace Pilgrim. And everyone was saying, "Oh, you know, there should be a book. Somebody should write a book." And in the end, there were the only people left were myself, a man named Andy Zepko, a couple named Ann and John Rush, and Richard Palasi, whose house it was held. And we got to talking about it, and we said, you know, if anyone writes a book about Peace Pilgrim, it's going to be their perception of her. And as we've heard in this gathering, everyone has their own perception.
Right.
And then we thought, you know, this needs to be in her words, and we recalled what she said. So we decided right then and there on the spot, the five of us, that we were going to stay there and we were going to put together a book from all the resources that we had. Now, yes, the many, many letters were one of the wonderful resources, but Swarthmore College in their peace collection had was keeping all of the news articles about Peace Pilgrim. They were sent to her from all over the country. There were lectures that had on tape that that we had access to. There were television programs taped. There were so many resources that, if you can imagine, we sat down, five of us, and it's hard to imagine in current times, on manual typewriters. We sat down in five different.
What are those?
Right. And so we would gather all the resources, and each day we would, each of us had a particular area that we would, start putting together. And at the end of the day, we would read our sections and we would critique and we would decide what would go in and what wasn't. What was really amazing is this whole, project was so immense and enormous if we had really sat down to think of it. But, you know, within 1 month, we had the first draft of that book written, Peace Pilgrim, Her Life and Work in Her Own Words.
And what a labor of love.
It was a labor of love and fun. We laughed. We argued. You know, we always said we were five people with totally different life experiences and perspectives. And we came together to laugh and argue and talk and put it all together. And somehow, miraculously, it happened, and it was absolutely joyful.
I think it's funny that you say that the five of you argued when the whole topic was peace. And actually, that brings me to a really important point. Now, Peace Pilgrim, that is, had some interesting ideas as to what peace was. And you were sharing with me about one of the reasons why she was walking was to be without or to find peace and to pray without ceasing.
Well, actually, she had found an unceasing inner peace prior to her walk, and she said she could not have undertaken her walk without that.
Uh-huh.
But her goal was to learn to pray without ceasing.
Okay.
And so that's what her goal was. She had inner peace, and as she said, she could not have walked her path without that. And so she was focused on learning to pray without ceasing, and she worked at it and worked at it, and then finally she said she just gave it up. She couldn't attain it, and she gave it up. And it was when she gave it up that she attained it.
Well, one of the things that I liked most about it, it seemed like there's almost a definition of peace in there, where you were saying that she said that peace was a constant projection of positive thought, and to look for the best, and you'll find it.
Absolutely, and that's what she did when she met people. She said, "If you look for the good in people, you're likely to find it." And so that is what she did. She said, "There's good in everybody, no matter how deeply it's buried. It's there." That was a difficult concept for me to really grasp in the beginning when I was listening to Peace and absorbing her philosophy just so fascinated by the amazing, not just the life that she led, but the fact that she absolutely lived fully her beliefs, which is so unusual and so rare. And what's really kind of funny is that, I had, realized in my own life that I had been following that path to, quote, success, the gathering of all the material things you could, and had realized that it did not bring me any sense of fulfillment. And I began being intrigued with idealistic thoughts and so on. And it was after being in the forest and having a deeply spiritual experience that I had the idea of giving everything away and pursuing this sense of finding a more meaningful life. And my desire at that time was to meet in the flesh an individual who actually lived the ideals I wanted so much to believe in, but I was still very skeptical that the living of such ideals was humanly possible.
And well, you so not only, yeah, you achieved it, and you're doing it.
Well, you know, I do my best, as everyone, you know, that has that desire to do works toward, and certainly life has its challenges, and you know, it's interesting that you say that because when I first entered the spiritual path consciously. And that was back about a year before I met Peace Pilgrim. When I consciously made that choice to live a spiritually oriented life, I thought, oh, isn't this wonderful? Because now things are going to be so easy. But what I found out was that when you make that conscious choice to really enter a dedicated path, whether it be spirituality or, you know, some goal of becoming a doctor or some other wonderful, meaningful thing in life, that challenges just come. And that it is in meeting those challenges, it's in solving the difficulties that come, that we begin to learn and grow and truly can embrace the philosophy that it is that we're reaching for.
Wow. Well, actually, that brings me to the part that I can't wait to get into. But before we do, you actually set out, I know when you got rid of all your possessions, you and your husband, you set out to live a life of service, which was actually another one of Peace Pilgrim's mottos. And that is to find inner peace. You have to serve others, right?
Yes, she used to say that the attainment of inner peace is needs an outgoing motive, an energy going out into the world, serving a path of service, something that you do with an outgoing motive, without thought of receiving something in return. That it isn't in striving to find inner peace that you attain it; it's in giving that you receive.
I love that concept, and I'm getting a sense that there is no peace on the outer unless there's peace on the inside, and that to me makes a lot of sense.
It does. It absolutely does. And yet, you know, as Peace herself would say, there is no, you know, she used to give guidelines, like her steps towards inner peace. But as she said, there are no, you know, this isn't the first step for everyone. You start wherever you are. You take the step that's easiest. And as you take a step, then it becomes easier and easier to take more.
Yes. Well, and let's talk about steps for a moment. Now, you took this big step with your husband at the time, and you got rid of all of your possessions to find peace. And you certainly found peace in more ways than one. You found peace in it's certainly inside, and Peace Pilgrim. So you did well. And then you had something happen to you. And that, let's talk about that a little bit. Now, of course, I'm alluding to cancer.
Oh, yes, right. Actually, Peace was one of my most amazing teachers in the area of healing, because when I met Peace, she talked about healing in ways that I had never heard anyone speak about it before. She talked about two types of healing, whether it's physical healing or otherwise. One is the removal of cause, which is good, which I call spiritual healing. The other is the removal of symptom, which merely postpones the reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was an amazing concept. I had never looked at healing in that way. And she talked about how she prayed for the removal of cause instead of symptoms when she was working with people who had illnesses. And at the time, interestingly, when I met her, my own mother was having, she had had a history of breast lumps, and she had had three surgeries over a period of years to remove lumps in her breast. And the first time was not cancerous. The second time wasn't. The third time was precancerous. And they were growing again, you know, a period of years in between each time. At that time, I was in the Theosophical Society, where I had met Peace Pilgrim and where Peace Pilgrim was staying for several weeks. And my mother called and she said, you know, I'm not going to go under the knife again. The doctors keep cutting out the lumps, but my body keeps growing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that something needs to change. Well, in that wonderful synchronicity of life, Peace Pilgrim had been talking. I had been going to every talk she gave several a day in the weeks that she was there. And she'd been talking about healing in these most amazing ways I had never heard of. And she also mentioned that if one had tumors and they were not yet cancerous, that fasting would dissolve those lumps.
Mm.
Which was a very interesting concept, because she said, you know, it doesn't have to be these arduous, month long without food, although Peace Pilgrim herself had undertaken a 44-day period of fasting on distilled water only after her wow. first pilgrimage route. So she always said she knew how long a body could go without food. But she talked about fasting 24 to 36 hours a day, that would dissolve tumors if they weren't cancerous. So I was talking to my mother about it. She said she wanted to do some research. That was our first piece of information. She just embraced it. She thought it was exciting and started doing that. She also looked at her diet, started giving up things that were at that time, and this was back in 1976, so, you know, this was early on in the discoveries of cancer theories. But at that time, they were talking about, you know, pesticides in foods, talking about caffeine. She gave up tea, which she had, drunk all of her life. She became a total vegetarian. She started, really researching and following good health guidelines, started looking at, where she was emotionally in her life and so on. And at that time, she was being monitored by her doctor, who had already operated on her several times. And within a short period of time, he noticed that her lumps were shrinking and shrinking. And
wow.
And knowing that he was doing something, but this being back in 1976, when alternatives weren't really acceptable or even talked about, he kind of said to her, look, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. and to make
a, and I don't want to know, probably.
Yes, that was the inference. Don't tell me, but keep doing it. And so, sure enough, within a matter of months, her lumps had dissolved, and
that is great.
Yeah, and mom is alive many years later today, and doing fine.
Ah, God bless her. Now, you, on the other hand.
Back about 7 years after Peace Pilgrim died, I had a retreat center, and I was teaching steps towards inner peace and teaching people how to live well, how to live healthy. I was diagnosed with advanced cancer.
Mm.
I was devastated. I felt like a hypocrite. I didn't know how it could happen. I thought it couldn't happen to people like me. So it burst my whole belief in thinking that I was somehow different, that once one embraced the spiritual path, that these things don't happen. When one follows good lifestyle habits, these things don't happen. It did happen. I was devastated. Doctor at the time gave me a very, very vivid description in detail, even sketched out, this very, very radical surgery that he felt was the only thing that could save my life.
Mm.
And while he was describing that to me, I had an instant vision of myself dead on the operating table. And it was not an emotional image. It was simply clearly an image of myself dead on the operating table. I immediately took it for reality. And when the doctor got through talking, he looked at me and he said, you look overwhelmed. And what I blurted out was, you know, I don't think I want to live in the body that's going to be left. What I did not tell him was the vision that I had, because I didn't feel that he would understand.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Research." He said, "I have all the research."
You had a different type of research in mind.
I did, but I thanked him sincerely, because I truly knew that he was coming, you know, from his background, from his
right.
scientific background, from his experience. I totally honored that. But I knew for myself that my inner guidance, my vision, was my reality. So, I had a different idea.
Cheryl, it strikes me as if you were possibly quite angry with the situation. And it was interesting how you tied this in when we were speaking about this, how you found, how did you put it, found peace, or you made peace with it? How was it that you put it?
Well, what I said was my goal became not to heal from cancer. My goal became to do that inner healing, that spiritual healing, so that I could come to a place of peace in my life. I had been, there was a tremendous amount of stress coming at me in life in the 7 years prior to my cancer diagnosis. And so I wanted to be able to find that peace within myself so that I could either make that transition out of the body from a place of peace, or I could make that transition back to life in a healthier, more profound way.
Cheryl,
so that became my goal.
And you achieved it, and I don't want to make light of this, but it is funny to me, in a sense, humorous, that you started writing a book called Dying Well.
Yes.
That later came to be published as.
I did. I started, because imagine, I mean, here you are. The doctor told me you might have only 6 months left. Another doctor told me you might not be here to see the child your daughter is pregnant with. She had become pregnant. I was devastated that I was putting her in this very emotionally stressful situation. And so, yes, I had to go from there. And at that time, I felt, for one thing, my body was very weak, and I slept a lot. I did a lot of sleeping, and it was very distressing to not be productive, because I had led a very productive life. So I had to really come to terms with allowing my body to get the rest that it needed and so on. A difficult transition, to be sure. And so I thought, well, what can I do? You know, and so that was my answer. What I could do is I could write about dying well. And I can tell you that it became really kind of fun and exciting, because I decided that in writing this book, Dying Well, would help. It would not only help me to find a way to make this a good transition and a joyful journey, but it would help others to do the same.
You know,
and
Cheryl,
so I made it my goal to do it in a really fun way.
For someone who didn't think she was being productive, I would say that you were quite productive during that time. And so the Dying Well became later known as...
Well, many years later. I didn't publish it for many years. But when I finally did publish it, the very book I was writing on how to die well, the title, of course, had changed to Profound Healing, The Power of Acceptance on the Path
to
Wellness.
Wow. Amazing. That truly is amazing. And the fact that this really is defining peace, because they're really, well, first of all, there is no peace in your world if you're not here to experience it. I mean, it doesn't matter. And here you found peace inside yourself in order to allow the peace to live without yourself, outside yourself.
Well, actually, I can tell you one interesting story about that healing process. There were many, many mountaintops along the way, many, many special experiences that were healing, very healing experiences. But one of the more profound ones was when I began reading about the power of visualization and how people use visualization. And so I started reading everything I could find on it. And again, this was back now in 1989, and everything that I read had to do with cancer being the enemy, and there were all these ways to kill the enemy, and you were destroying, you know, whatever. And so I thought, wow, you know, that just isn't my way, but, you know, it works for a lot of people. I'll try it. I tried it a couple of times, and it left me just feeling very frustrated and certainly far from peaceful. So I just decided that this process wasn't for me, and I let it go. But then, in a very quiet meditation, when I was just being still and open and receptive, a spontaneous image appeared to me of my cancer cells as these very young, non-reasoning children who were threatened by the stress that had been bombarding my life, bombarding them. And so in a misguided effort to survive, they had started reproducing like crazy, not realizing that they would, in so doing, they would kill off the host. The moment that I got that image, I spontaneously myself went within and embraced my cancer cells as I would embrace young children.
Wow.
And I said, I am so sorry that I left you alone. I didn't realize, and I'm here now. I'm in charge. You can let go.
Cheryl.
Now, at that moment, I felt, of course, as you can imagine, a profound peace throughout my body, but I didn't at that time assume that my body had healed. Remember, my goal was to attain that spiritual healing, and I knew that something really profound had happened, but I was, accepting whatever that path was going to be, whether it be that healing to make that transition out of this life or to transition back in a more empowered way.
It had happened indeed, and this is exactly where I knew we were going to come to, and it's perfect, a way to close here with this message of peace that you are sharing here again, because in the same way that you found compassion and embraced these cells and said, I'm sorry I left you alone, I'm here now, in so much the same way with everything that's going on in the world, we've either been asleep at the wheel, or some of us have turned a blind eye, or not understood, or have not cared, or thought it could go on and it doesn't bother me. And the world and the planet has been left to fend for itself. And all of a sudden, some of us are waking up, thanks to your message as well, and saying, wait a minute, I have not been here. I'm sorry. Let's embrace the situation and find the peace in the moment instead of making whatever the enemy. And so your book is what was originally 12 Steps for Dying Well became 12 Steps for Living Well. It is called Profound Healing, and people can find it at profoundhealing.com. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, the book can be gotten in any bookstore. If a bookstore doesn't have it, they can order it. It's available on Amazon.com. It is published by Healing Arts Press, so it can be purchased in any manner.
Well, Cheryl, you are a life and wellness counselor, a teacher of spiritual principles, and on and on, and you certainly have taught us some spiritual principles here, but those women who I'm sure will be writing us or wanting to be in contact with you, you give one-on-one sessions as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so how would they contact you? Is that through the website as well?
My email address is Cheryl Can, CHERYLCAN, at AOL.com, and that is also on my website, which is profoundhealing.com.
Well, I feel like a profound healing has happened here. You have helped me connect the dots of something that has been on my mind. How do we achieve that peace throughout the world? And you just gave us one way to do it, if not the way. So thank you so much, and thank you so much for being on the show with us today, all the way from Santa Rosa.
Oh, thank you so much, Filippo. My pleasure.
Well, I look forward to meeting you someday and having you on again as our guest and actually having you in the physical form.
I would love that. Thank you.
Cheryl, you have a great evening, and thanks again. And everybody, again, that's profoundhealing.com. And our guest has been Cheryl Canfield. Well, we have now the luminary list. You know, I laugh because I'm always excited to learn, and what is next? And who has Stacy brought to us? So Stacy has, and her luminary list.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, did you hear we're having a live event?
We're having a live event, yes. And you still won't tell me what it's going to look like for luminary lists in the live version, but it's okay. Surprise me.
It's a secret.
Okay, it's a secret. We'll all know at the same time.
So, yeah, we're having a live event. That's exciting on the 23rd. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
Yeah, I think I beat that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, great, because that was my gratuitous plug. So, this week's luminary came to us from the ubiquitous Facebook.
Oh, okay.
From you.
Well, which one? Because there's so many people who are writing this. Okay.
I know. Well, this is Bill Green.
I think, okay. Yes.
You know which it is?
Oh, this is hysterical.
This is a
great.
Good one.
Okay.
So this is my favorite thing because we keep saying luminaries aren't just famous people. They're everybody's a luminary in some way. So Bill Green is a guy, I guess. I'm assuming with a name like Bill Green, Bill, I'm pretty sure you're a guy. And he posted this on his Facebook page, and he said, "There is a cashier who works near me who is probably 200 pounds overweight, missing a front tooth, and generally treats her customers with cold indifference. One day, I just decided to be extra nice to her, to look her straight in the eye and connect, and her reaction was total disbelief. Every day since then, she is so sweet and literally lights up every time I see her. And now I see her do it to others too." So, Bill, kudos to you for brightening somebody's life and making them feel better about themselves and about all the people around them. And there were a couple of comments that people wrote, and one of them was, "You took away her fear of rejection." Right, which is a nice...
Maybe no one had actually been nice to her up to that point or something.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of sometimes we, you know, we get back what we put out. So when Bill put out love and understanding, he got it back from her and she started giving it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other comment was, "That's awesome, Bill, the ripple effect of positivity." So I like that one because I think we always have to remember that when you drop a rock in a pond, it has lots of ripples, and that goes on the good side and on the bad side. So I think we always have to be conscious of that.
Well, thanks, Bill, and thanks, Stacy, for picking up on that. I know we had to ask permission if we could use his name, and he says, "Yeah, go ahead."
I
didn't know you'd pick it, so
I know.
I'm glad you did.
I hope he's listening.
I hope he is too, but he can always hear it on the archives at our website
At www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com.
And how do you spell Filippo?
Filippo.
Thank you, Stacy. You're really good at that. You should be doing PR.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to change my career.
I have a great name for a PR agency.
What?
Positive PR.
You're brilliant. Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Stacy.
We should take this on the road. Oh wait, we are.
We are. Our first Life Changes the People Live event. So thank you, Stacy Hess, with your luminary list. And now we have our very own cosmic advisor who will also be at the live event, and she'll be doing a lot more than she gets to do here on the radio. She'll be doing a moon ceremony, and she'll be doing some energetic alchemy and helping people in so many ways. And I can't wait for all of you who can come to meet her. She is Dorothy Lee with the State of the Universe Address.
Hi, everybody. What a great show tonight. Thank you, Cheryl. I've spoken to you all before about Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements, and how we can change our lives for the better if we live by his four simple covenants. I'm going to speak about the first one tonight, which is really important. Be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. It's been almost 25 years ago that I learned that how I identify myself is crucial to becoming all I've come here to be. However, there have been times that I've forgotten what I know. This simply means that there are times when I'm not impeccable with my words, and I know that many of you are not either. For example, if I were to ask you this question, "How are you?" how would you answer? Here are the answers I've been getting way too often these days. I am tired. I am stressed. I am broke. I'm overworked and underpaid. I am sick and tired of my job or relationship. I am always late. Long ago, I learned that whatever words we place behind the two most powerful words in the English language, I am, becomes who we are. And this is exactly what Don Miguel means when he says to be impeccable with our word. If we don't wish to continue to be tired, broke, stressed, overworked, underpaid, and depressed, then we must pay attention to what we're saying to ourselves and to others. We can enroll and enlist our family members and our friends, coworkers, and all others we spend time speaking with to help us become consciously aware of what we're saying about ourselves and to ourselves. For example, how often do we say this simple but very powerful phrase? I don't know. When we come across a challenge we haven't mastered. My roommate helped me with this one. When I was gifted with a new Mac computer, I was grateful for the gift, but truly challenged because it works so differently from a PC, and I'd used a PC for years and years. I was constantly reaffirming that I couldn't do simple things with the Mac because it was different than what I was used to. Without thinking about it, I would say, I don't know how to, or I can't do this, and I would go to my roommate for assistance because he had a Mac and appeared to be a whiz with it. He lovingly reminded me that I would never know how if I continued to use phrases like I don't know or I can't, because I was creating the impossibility of ever becoming capable of mastering the new tool I had been given by choosing disempowering thoughts, words, and phrases. With his help and guidance, I have learned how to use my Mac, and now I can't imagine going back to a PC. But if I had to, I know that I could figure out quickly how to use it by just knowing that I can do it. As Henry Ford so eloquently said, whether you think you can or you think you cannot, you are right. So it's really important to remember who you are and remember that as the divine child of God that we all are, we are the co-creators of this thing called life, and our thoughts and words are very important. Another thing my roommate helped me with was my inability to find my keys, glasses, telephone, or whatever. I was constantly saying, I don't know where I put my keys, glasses, etc. He reminded me that my higher self knew exactly where I had placed them. And so now, if they're not in the first place I look, I say this. I know exactly where my phone is. And guess what? I really do. I've always known, but I had instructed my mind to believe differently. I was not using my word in either the direction of truth or love, as Don Miguel suggested we do. However, I'm getting very good at this, and now when I find myself stressed or tired, I choose to take a few moments to breathe, and I connect to Source and speak the real truth, which is, I easily and effortlessly get everything done on time today. And guess what? I do, and so can you. Ask your loved ones to help you work with this very important agreement. I will repeat it once again. Be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. If you choose to do this simple thing, you can and will change your life for the better. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices. And please know that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow, that is great. Thank you so much, Dorothy Lee, our resident cosmic advisor with the State of the Universe address. It's always so powerful, and it's really interesting that just recently, or actually today, I was someplace and I heard somebody say to their child, you are accident prone, you are accident prone. And I thought, wow, there's an affirmation. And I wonder for how many years this poor child will grow up and before she could get away from that affirmation. And so she could always set herself a new one like we all can. And also I'm hoping that the parents are listening so that they know to help their children with affirmations that are much more positive and conducive to a happier, better life. So, you know, it's funny. I feel a little gypped in the sense that after every show, we get to celebrate and have fun with the guest. And Cheryl's not here with us, and it just feels like she should be. We have so much fun when we're all together, and that is why it's going to be so much fun to have the live event on June 23rd and all the other live events that we're going to have, because that way we can enjoy each other just like we do after the shows here. So with that, that's our show for today. We'd like to thank once again Cheryl Canfield for being on our show today. And also let's thank Peace Pilgrim. I think we ought to thank her for what she did and what she's doing and what she's going to do with people that are still behind the memory of her, like Cheryl and a few other people we know that we can't really talk about right now. So, but thank you again, Cheryl, for being on our show. And we invite you to learn more about her by going to our show archives on our website and clicking on the respective links for more information. We look forward to being together again next week when we have Dr. Kenneth Best on the show. And he's a licensed chiropractor, a certified applied kinesiologist, and a certified teacher and practitioner of theta healing. He's going to talk to us about how we can change our life with our words, or in other words, how we can rewrite our life. I can't say it, but I hope I can do it. We look forward to that, and I'm sure it's going to be a show not to be missed. Remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. My name is spelled F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Connect with us also on our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook fan page, or for that matter, any of our personal Facebook pages. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ion Ways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee and Stacy Hess, our show producers, Mark Skelton, John Snow, and Mark Leger, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here every Monday night at 9 p.m. 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time now. And visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we graciously embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.